are you doing this morning? All right, I'll give you a minute to wake up. Well, my name is Katie. I'm the Connections Pastor here, and typically you guys don't see my face during this part of our services. Usually I'm the first person that opens up, but Pastor Dave opened this morning because I will be bringing the message this morning, and I am super pumped for what the Lord has given me to speak about this morning. And I think it's a message that is perfect for our church. I think it's a message that is going to just propel us into what our future is going to be. And I am excited because I know you guys have come ready to receive this morning. We prayed about it in worship, and we opened up with prayer, and I know that the Lord's going to minister to us this morning. But I wanted to start off this morning with something that I think all of us can relate to, and it's how we all have different personalities. God created us with different personalities, and in my family, those different personalities were very evident. I have an older brother who is 5 years older than me, and his name is Justin, and Justin was the best kid ever. He was what I would call the favorite child. You know, parents in this room, you know, kids are like, well, he's your favorite. Well, I believe my parents really did have a favorite, and my brother was their favorite. I was not the favorite. And now that I have my own child, I'm like, I can understand why parents supposedly say that they don't have a favorite kid, but they really do. My brother was what I would call a genius. He was super smart, was always dedicated to his studies. He really actually didn't even date a girl until like his senior year of high school because he was so devoted to his schoolwork. My mom was like, Justin, I mean, do you like girls? I mean, you haven't dated anybody. You went to prom with a couple friends, but I mean, my brother was like, yes, Mom, I like girls, but I want to be valedictorian of my class. That was not Katie's goal. I did not care anything about being valedictorian of my class. And I was very smart. I'm not going to take that away. I did do really well in school, but I wasn't valedictorian. I was probably like maybe five down from the top of our class. Now, there was only 25 people in my graduating class. So don't like be like, wow, Katie. But, you know, I did do well in school. I did study. I took honors classes, and I knew at a very young age exactly what I wanted to do in life. And it's not this. It wasn't exactly what I had planned. But, you know, as I grew up, I continually got spankings every single day. It was like, even until middle school, I still got spankings. In high school, my mom would threaten me with spankings. My brother said to his friends in elementary school that I was the demon child. That's what he titled me as because I would always get in trouble. And my parents actually took me to a therapist. And, like, they were like, we're really concerned because, like, she's really, like, really mean at home and doesn't want to listen. And the therapist was like, she's just working it out. You know, she's just working it out. Obviously, I grew out of that. I'm not a demon child any longer. But, you know, my brother and I were just totally different. And as we've grown up, my brother is actually went to school, got his master's, finished his doctorate at NC State, and is actually a high school math teacher wanting to teach college-level math. So he's a geek. That's just who he is. He'll come to family like Christmas and Thanksgiving. He lives in Raleigh, so he doesn't live here. But he'll come in for, you know, holidays and stuff, and we'll spend time, and he wants to talk to me about math. And I'm like, dude, I went into dental hygiene so that I didn't have to do any math at all. So, like, let's not talk about being smart, you know? Like, let's just be normal. My brother is so smart that sometimes he just kind of lacks a little bit of, like, I want to say common sense, but, like, let's just do everyday living experiences, okay? So, like, some things, like, he just doesn't do really well in thinking that way. And when I talk to him on the phone, it's like, Justin, what do you need? Just get to the point. Like, let's go. Like, he's just drawing it out. And he's just a little bit awkward sometimes. Well, I'm not that way. I'm a very personal person. I am somebody who's just outgoing. I've been since a young age. And I knew that I was just never going to be, like, a doctorate in math. But God had a bigger calling on my life, and I didn't know it even in elementary school when I was called the demon child. I knew that God was cultivating something within me. And even though my brother and I are so polar opposites, we grew up from the same family in the same household. We experienced the same things. Our parents taught us the exact same ways. And yet we're so different. But my brother has the skills and abilities to do exactly what God has called him to do. And I have the skills and abilities to do exactly what God has called me to do. Isn't that so good that we can be so different? And even you guys in this room, you guys are so different from each other and we don't look the same. Isn't that good? Isn't that good that God has created us exactly how he wants us to be and for the exact purpose that he's called us to? It's so good. Okay. So this morning, we're going to be talking about something that I believe has plagued the global church as a whole and even reaching into our church as well. But before we do that, before we get in, let's go ahead and pray and let's devote this time to the Lord this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this time, for gathering us together. God, we thank you for the word that you're going to bring out of me this morning. I know that it's a word that is in season. And Lord, it's a word that's exactly for our church. I pray that our hearts are ready to receive and our ears are open to exactly what you have for us this morning. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about the global church as a whole and how our church is even saturated with Christians, newborn Christians, let's call them, searching for what can make them feel good instead of the Great Commission. Pastor Josh mentioned last week in the All In, as we started the All In series, he mentioned what God's calling in your life and what your purpose is. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. God's will for your life is, wait for it, the Great Commission. No, it's bands, what's, whatever you want to call it, the Great Commission. And that's what God has called each of us to this morning. Did you know that you were created for a purpose and that you have everything that you need already inside of you to carry out that purpose? Today, we're going to be looking at two different people in the Bible, people that you guys are very familiar with. You know exactly who you are. When I call them out, you're going to be like, oh, I know exactly what their story is. But their stories are going to lead us to what we're going to talk about is their purpose this morning. All right, so if you got your notes, and I hope you do, Pastor Josh always tells us, make sure you're writing down. Take your phone out in the notes section and write it out, because we got a couple points this morning. I want to talk about them. So point one, your past doesn't matter. I'm going to repeat it this morning. Your past doesn't matter. I think that's a word that a lot of us need to receive this morning. Your past doesn't matter. First, we're going to be talking about Paul. Everybody knows Paul. Paul was actually not even Paul's real name. Paul's name was Saul. And we're going to talk about how Saul became Paul here in just a second. Let's give a little back history. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, you can open up to Acts chapter 9. I'm not going to read all of Acts chapter 9, but I want you guys to kind of look back and study it out this week. It's a really great, powerful excerpt in the Bible of how Paul's life was completely changed by one moment. So let's talk about a little back history of Paul this morning. Number one, he was a young man, and the Bible even calls him very young. And Paul actually witnessed the stoning of Stephen. He was right there, right in the middle of it all. Let's call him Saul for right now because we're going to talk about his past. So Saul started persecuting Christians at a very young age and threw them into prison. He killed Christians even to the point of eradicating them, wanted to completely get rid of them, any thought of them at all in their area and destroy them. In Acts chapter 9, it talks about how Paul encounters the presence of Jesus. Paul's actually taking some letters to Damascus, and he's heading there. On the way there, he's got his crew with him. They're walking down the dirt road, and all of a sudden, bam, Jesus happens. And Paul's life is forever changed. Isn't it incredible how one moment in the presence of Jesus can alter everything in your life? One touch from Jesus can change your life and generations to come. So Paul's heading there. All of a sudden, Jesus comes, shows up, bam, he's on the ground and he's blinded. Can't see. Completely blind. And the Lord shows up and says, Paul, I want you to get up and I want you to go to Damascus and I want you to wait there and hang out there because there's a word coming for you and I want you to be ready for it. So Paul gets up. Remember, he's still blind. Doesn't have his sight. He asks his guys to take him into Damascus, lead him in there. And on the way there, they drop him off in the city. And then his people are like, okay, bye. See you later. We're hanging out. We're going to go back to where we came from because I don't know what you're doing and you're blind. You're not really even used to us. So we're going to head on back and good luck. So Paul stays there in that house that he was at. Stays there for 3 whole days, completely blind, can't see anything. He doesn't eat and he's just waiting for the word to come. I believe that Paul was blinded because he needed to rely fully on the word that was coming. He didn't need to look around. He didn't need to go anywhere. He needed to wait until Jesus spoke to him. So the Lord blinded him and kept him focused on what his mission was. You know, there's a man called Ananias. Ananias actually experiences the presence of Jesus as well right around the time that Saul does. And the Lord tells Ananias, hey, Ananias, I need you to get up, and there's a man called Saul, and I want you to go, and I want you to give him a word that he's going to be spreading the gospel to every part of the world. Ananias said, ain't no way. Not going to happen. You know why? Because I know who Saul is. Saul is a crazy man. He's been killing Christians. I'm a Christian. He's going to kill me. He's going to take me captive. He's going to throw me in prison. Then he's going to wait for me to die. And then he's going to probably bring me back and then kill me again. And I said, I don't want to be any part of that. Lord, I know you love all people, but I don't really want to go be a part of that because I know he's got a reputation. The Lord says, doesn't matter. He's my willing servant, and I need you to go talk to him. So and I said, okay, all right, Lord. I'll go. Shows up in front of Saul and says, hey, Saul, guess what? You're going to go and you're going to preach the word. Do you think that Saul was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know that I'll ever be able to do that. You know what Saul did? Saul said, okay, all right. He got up. Immediately his sight was restored. He got his word from the Lord, and he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to carry it out. He got up. Immediately, his sight was restored. He ate and then got baptized and then found the disciples because he said, I need to learn exactly what I need to be doing. I need to find my purpose. God's given me a word, and I'm going to go find my purpose. I need to find out what these disciples know, and I need to follow what they're doing. And then he went out and started preaching in his ministry. It doesn't matter how bad your past is, or how people view you. Doesn't matter how people's impressions of you, of how they used to know you 10, 15 years ago. It only is based solely on how God views you. God can still change you and can change generations. You know, Paul wasn't too far gone. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you know what, Paul, there's no hope for you. He said, nope, he's my willing vessel. And he's going to carry out exactly what I have for him to do. You know, if Paul had kind of sat where he had at and sat in that house and was blind and then his sight was restored, but then he said, hey, I'm just going to go back to where my friends are because that's what's comfortable and that's what I know. Do you know if Paul had done that, we wouldn't be here today. The gospel had not been spread to the Gentiles, and that's exactly what Paul's mission was, and that's what God called him to do. If Paul decided, you know what, my past is really kind of crazy. Nobody's really going to believe anything that I have to say because they're going to be frightened of me because I used to kill them. If Paul had sat in his misery and his pity and his sorrow, looking at how his past was, we wouldn't be here, and our lives would not be changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Go ahead and turn there in your Bible real quick. We've got a couple different scriptures. We're going to kind of jump around. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Isn't that good? That's such good news this morning. You don't have to live in your past and the decisions you made. But God's called you to be a new creation, transformed by him only. Forget the past. It doesn't matter anymore. What is ahead is what matters and what's God calling you to do. All right, point number two, if you're writing it down. Point number two, it doesn't matter how many times you have screwed up. God can still use you. It doesn't matter how many times you failed, God can still use you. We're going to talk about David this morning. Everybody knows David. David is somebody, even I feel like if you didn't grow up in the church or believe anything about Jesus, that you probably know exactly who David is. David's seen through in the Old Testament, he's seen in the New Testament. But David's so well known for his mistakes that we just choose to kind of overlook them. You know, David was called a man after God's own heart. How could he be called a man after God's own heart when he screwed up so many times? And you're thinking, David, do you not get it? Where have you missed it, man? You just keep screwing up and you keep screwing up, and how are you not getting it yet? So we're going to talk about David's screw-ups this morning. We're going to talk about the story of Bathsheba. And if you didn't grow up in church, it's an interesting story. I don't think we go into as much details in children's church. But, you know, David was king at the time, and during that time it was war. War was going on, and all of the men had gone off to war. And, you know, David decided, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to sleep in my king-size bed, and I'm going to sleep on with my feather pillow and my weighted blanket, and I'm going to enjoy my jacuzzi tub while all those other men are off at war. And in that moment, David's walking around on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba. And she was beautiful, beautiful woman. Bathsheba knew what she was doing. She wasn't stupid. She knew, I can get in with the king. And David, instead of being a noble man, decided to commit a lot of mistakes. Instead of David turning his eyes and being like, oh, nope, can't look at her. She ain't my wife. I gotta go. I gotta get up out of here. Nope. David said, ooh, she's pretty. I like her. He didn't do it in that creepy voice, though. I like her. You know, instead he said, I want her to come here, and I want to talk with her. Well, he didn't just talk to her. He did a lot more than talk to her. He slept with her. She got pregnant. And then he was like, oh, I screwed up. Uh-oh, that ain't good. Now what am I going to do? So David decides that he's going to make up this genius plan that he thinks is going to work. So he calls Bathsheba's husband Uriah home from war, and he thinks, well, he's been off at war. Of course he's going to come home, and he's going to love on his wife and sleep with her. And then he'll find out she's pregnant, and then he won't think anything about it, because then he'll be like, well, it's mine, of course. So Uriah, being the noble man that he was, didn't even go in and see his wife. He stayed outside. And then David said, uh-oh, that ain't going to work. Now what am I going to do? So then he sends Uriah back to war and then sends a letter with him that says, put him at the front of the lines. David knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't putting Uriah up there because he was like, oh, he'll just kill everybody and then he'll come home and then everything will be nice and happy. No, he knew that Uriah being on that front line was going to get him killed. And then he said, if he's done and he's killed and he's off, then I don't have to worry about anything else, because then I'll take Bathsheba and then she'll be mine, and then we'll have this beautiful baby and life will be great. You know, in that moment, David acted irresponsible by staying home from war and not being with his men. He acted reckless and selfish by stealing Uriah's wife. And he acted irrationally when he had Uriah killed. You know, in this short little excerpt in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David committed four different commandments. And they're not like the little ones. They're like big deals that we're like, we would never do that. Where were you at, David? Jeez. He committed adultery. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He lied about it and then committed murder. How is it that David can screw up this many times and still be called the man after God's own heart? Well, one moment, 2 moments, 3 moments, 5, 6, 7, whatever we want to call them, doesn't define your future calling from God. You don't have to walk around with a scarlet letter on your chest proclaiming to everybody how many times you've screwed up. Doesn't matter if you stole something last night. Doesn't matter if you have an alcohol problem. Doesn't matter if you got your girlfriend pregnant in high school. I'm calling it out. Doesn't matter how many times you've screwed up, God can still use you. You know, David was called the man after God's own heart because in Acts 13:22, it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. And God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Here's why he's called the man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It wasn't like, David, I'll ask you to do something, and David said, nah, I'm good. It's not really in my comfort zone. It's not really kind of what I had envisioned for my life. David was an I will person and did whatever God called him to do. You know, it started out when David was a young child. We're going to talk about that this morning. Point number three is God calls us to a simple act of obedience. Simple act. It's not going to be big. It's not going to be this huge, ginormous thing that God's calling you to do. It's just a simple act of saying, here I am, Lord. Just use me. You know, Saul, when he was blinded, he was immediately, sight was restored when he chose to get up out of his sorrow and immediately get baptized, eat his food, and then start preaching. Like I said, Saul could have just gone back to exactly where he came from, and nobody really would have thought anything different. Nobody else knew other than the people that he was with on the road that he had encountered Jesus. He could have just gone back and said, I'm just going to keep doing exactly what I'm going to do. But instead, he received the word from the Lord and got up and chose to carry it out. David's story of simple act of obedience starts when he was a child and he goes and fights Goliath. You know, David's out in the fields tending to the sheep. He's hanging out. He's playing his harp. His father shows up and says, hey, David, I want you to go and check on your brothers at war. I've got these ham and cheese sandwiches, and I want you to go. In case you don't know, I kind of envision this is what it's like in the Bible, okay? They didn't just have, like, some butter bread. I mean, it was like ham and cheese sandwiches. We're going to send them off. So he says, I want you to take these sandwiches. I want you to go to your brothers and check on them, make sure they're okay, and then report back to me because I'm a little worried about them. They've been gone for a while. So David shows up with his little basket. I think about Little Red Riding Hood, you know. She's gypsy now. And he shows up, and he's like, who's this idiot out here? He's really big, but he's stupid. So they say, well, it's Goliath. He's mean, and nobody wants to go fight him. David says, I will. I'll do it. And they thought, David, you're a little scrawny kid. You don't have any type of armor on. You haven't really ever been off to battle. I mean, you've fought a lion and a bear. Okay, maybe you are good enough. Okay, never mind. So then they said, well, let's put this armor on you. Let's try it out and we'll send you out. David, he was scrawny. He couldn't hold up any of that armor. He says, uh-uh, I don't want any of it. I want to go down and I'm going to get 3 stones out of the river and I'm going to come up and I've got this little slingshot I made and I'm going to take them down. In that moment of David's simple act of obedience of saying, yes, Father, I'll go take those ham and cheese sandwiches, propelled him into his future calling. Do you know after that, then he, in a few more chapters, is basically called out as king. And then David was going to be changing the world. You know, both of these stories, his simple act of obedience, just comes from willingness. God wants our willingness, but first we must surrender and seek forgiveness. You know, you'll never know what God's calling on your life is until you first learn to be still and know who he is. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, I'm kind of fumbling around in my life. I really want to do things for the Lord, but I really don't know how to do them because I've screwed up in my past. And you know what? I suggest you get down on your knees and you face the Lord and you say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I want to get to know you. God's got a big calling on your life, and he's got a purpose for your life, and he's called you out for it. But you got to get into his presence and find out what he wants. Find out who he is. You know, if you don't get into God's presence, you're not going to hear him talking. God's not going to talk to you as you're walking down the street talking to your friend and you're talking about God knows what and you talked about what you did last weekend and how, oh, that felt really good. God's going to talk to you in the quiet place. And he's going to say, hey, Susie, I love you. I love you a whole bunch. And I knew you before you were even born. And I created you for a purpose. You know, God never forces anybody to serve. He's not going to twist your arm. You know, I love what I believe Pastor Anna has even mentioned it before about the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He's never going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to withhold things from you just because you say, God, I'm just not ready yet. But you know what he does want? He wants your willingness. Your willingness to just say, God, I'm not perfect. I've screwed up, messed up. But I know I've done it, and I want to surrender it to you. And I want to acknowledge what you want for me. God has given you everything you need to accomplish that. Do you know that he knew you before the moon was created? He knew you before your parents made love, and then they got pregnant. He knew you even then. He knew you when you were a tiny little baby. And he knew even then that you were going to do big things because he created you for a purpose and a calling on your life. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Didn't say he gave us a tiny little smidgen. It wasn't like, well, if you do this, then I'll give you a little bit more, and then I'll give you a little bit more later. He said he gave us everything we need for a godly life. Wait for it. Through our knowledge of him. Goes back to getting in his presence, guys. Goes back to saying, God, here I am. Use me. Tell me exactly what you want me to do. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of backstory. I know my husband and I have been in our church. It'll be, 9 years? Stephen, what am I? 9 years? How long have we been married? I don't even know at this moment. This year will be 9 years. So we've been in this church 9 years. Sorry, I'm all over the place. If you've been through the Pathfinder class, which I definitely encourage you to do if you're new here at Trailhead and you want to get more information and get plugged in here at Trailhead, you need to go to our Pathfinder class. But if you've gone through the Pathfinder class, I've given you kind of a little backstory of who I am and where I started out. I gave you a little bit of history in the beginning talking about my family, but I grew up in a Christian family. And at the age of 13, my parents divorced. My dad was a deacon in the church. My mom sang in the choir. So we were heavily involved in the church. And at that moment, I decided to step into volunteering. I volunteered in a couple different areas. I started in the choir, and obviously I'm not up here singing, so therefore I didn't stay in choir very long. But I started helping in the nursery with the babies, and they should have never let me do that. Because at 14 years old, all I wanted to do was eat the goldfish snacks and then rock the babies, and I'd fall asleep in the rocker. They should have never let me do that. I was of no help at all to them. I was really just another body that they had to take care of and then replenish the goldfish snacks. But I started doing that, and then eventually I stepped out and started teaching the elementary class. And our elementary class at the church I grew up in was nothing like what we have here. It was, hey, we're going to do a small little Bible lesson for like 5 minutes, and then we're going to, you know, shovel out some goldfish, and we're going to throw some lemonade at you. It might be fruit punch, I don't know, which is full of sugar. Don't ever give your kids fruit punch. That's just the dental hygiene in me coming out. I'm sorry. But anyways, so, and then we turn on VeggieTales, and then we kill another 45 minutes of just watching VeggieTales. And we thought, well, that's good. They got Jesus at some point during that hour. They allowed me to teach the class, and I don't know why at 14, why they would allow a 14-year-old to lead a class of like 20 kids, but they did. I think they just needed an able body. I think they just needed somebody to come in and corral the kids together. So at that time, as I grew up, I just continued to keep doing what I was doing and teaching the elementary classroom. And then I met Stephen. Well, Stephen and I had, went to high school together. And we were friends, and then we dated, and then we broke up, and then we dated it again, and then whatever. But they, both of us grew up in church, and so Stephen was actually serving in his church as well. And as we started dating, I was like, well, I want to spend more time with Stephen, of course, so I'll just go to his church. And then we started teaching worship for their youth group. Well, they grew up in a very Southern Baptist church, so they only had hymns, and that's what their youth group was. And we thought, well, let's come in here and let's just start a little bit of some contemporary music with these youth kids. So I would, Wednesday before youth, I'd type up a PowerPoint presentation, and then we would sing to tracks, straight up old school. And we would lead their worship for about 15 minutes, and we did that for a long time. And as Stephen and I got more serious and we wanted to get married, we knew that we were going to be serving God no matter what. And so actually in our vows, on our wedding day, we said that we wanted to serve Christ together because we knew that there was a calling on our life and we wanted just to serve because we had been blessed so much. And there was no other, there wasn't another thought. And that's what we grew up doing and that's what we knew. And so right before we got married, we actually came and visited here at Trello Church. And then we got married, then went on our honeymoon, and then we came back. So that's why I ask when we got married, because I always remember it that way, of like how long we've been at the church, because we got married the week after we visited. So after a couple weeks of coming to Trailhead, Pastor Anna approached me and said, "Hey, Katie, I would love for you to help me in the kids ministry. Have you ever done kids before?" And I was like, "Yep." Didn't know that it was definitely different than what I grew up doing. But then I served in kids, and of course, being the great wife that I am, I roped my husband into serving along with me because I thought, if I'm doing kids, you're going to do kids with me. So he served in kids, and we taught the elementary class for a while, and then Stephen stepped into being a part of the worship team, and then he would play, and then he would come and help me in elementary class. And we did that for a long time. And then I transitioned out of helping with the kids and stepped into greeting. And I love that because that's where my personality thrives, is I love meeting new people and just loving on them. And then I stepped into being a volunteer coordinator. And so we were managing, I was managing all the volunteer schedules and getting new recruits and just getting people connected. And then there was a period of my life, not that long ago, that I said, "God, there's more. I know there's more than what I'm doing right now." And I went to Pastor Josh and Anna, and I said, "I know there's something that I want to do, but I really don't know what it is. Can you just tell me what you need me to do?" Doesn't really work that way. And thank God we have pastors that don't just tell me what they want me to do, because they want me to know exactly what God wants me to do. You know, that would have been easy, and that's exactly what I wanted Pastor Josh to do. I was like, "Hey, Pastor Josh, can you just tell me exactly what you need? Like, just list out all the things that you need, and then I'll figure out, is that what I want to do? Is that what I want to do?" And he said, "No, I need you to go and talk to Jesus about it." That's not easy, because it might take a while. So I said, "Okay, all right." So I went back and talked to the Lord. "Lord, I know what you've gifted me with. But what am I called to do?" So I met with Pastor Anna several months later, and I at a Starbucks on University, and I said, "Hey, Pastor Anna, let's just meet up and let's just talk." She said, "Great, let's talk about it." And so we sat down, and I said, "Okay, these are the things in my head that I know I'm really good at, and these are the things that I know that I think God's calling me to do. But this one right here, this connections pastor position, I think is where I'm at. I think this is where God's stepping me out into. But I don't want to preach." Isn't that funny? I was like, "I really don't want to get up in front of people and preach. I just don't really see myself up there." And she was like, "Well, you don't have to." Pastor Anna was like, "Huh. You just wait." You know, I didn't go to seminary school. But you know, if you just say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," get ready. Because he's going to prepare you for something that's a lot bigger than what you thought. It all started with a simple act of saying, "Hey, I'll love on those babies. I might eat your goldfish, but I'll love on them. I'll show that VeggieTale movie. I'll be all right with it. Lord, I can't sing, but Lord, I'll sing for you. Lord, I'm not really an outgoing person, but here I am, Lord, send me. If you want me to be a greeter, I'll do it. Because I know you're cultivating in me exactly what I need." Psalms 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack everything." No, he doesn't. I lack nothing. Nothing. If God's called you to do it, he'll give you everything you need. I never pictured myself standing here today. Pastor Josh did. He prophesied a long time ago that I'd be up here preaching. And I was like, sure. But you know, if you have a willing heart and you just say, here I am, Lord, send me, use me however you want to use me. Doesn't matter. Don't put limitations on God. I think if you start putting limitations on God, he's going to really push you out. He's going to really push you beyond your boundaries, beyond the things that you had imagined for yourself. I want to acknowledge a couple people this morning, not just a couple, a whole lot of people. If you are a current volunteer in our church and you serve on a regular basis on our Sunday morning, I would love for you to stand up right now. Give these people a round of applause, please. You guys can take a seat. These people that you just saw stand up are the heart of Trailhead Church. These are the people that allow us to do exactly what God has called our church to do on a Sunday morning and to reach our community. If it wasn't for you guys, Trailhead Church probably wouldn't be here. I appreciate you. And I thank you for giving of your time and your talents and just for your willingness to say, here I am, Lord, send me. You guys are more than just a body on a Sunday morning. You are so much more than that. And let me remind you, I started out in kids' church teaching kids. If you're teaching kids, you are awesome. I know how crazy my kid is. If you're teaching that toddler's three classroom, bless you. He is crazy. But you know what? You guys are sowing into those children's lives, and you're raising them up to be mighty women and men for Jesus. Because they're our future. They're the ones that are going to be stepping out. And God bless my son if he steps up here and is a preacher in so many years. But here I am, Lord. Just use me. Send me. However you want to do it, I'm here and I'm available. God created you for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You say, Katie, okay, well, you told me some good stories this morning. You made me laugh. But what does that mean for me? Well, do you know how much Jesus did for you? Do you know what he gave for you? He gave his life. You know, we love the lost and want to see them encounter Jesus because he first loved us. At Trailhead Church, we have a desire to reach people from the mountains to the sea. And volunteers, that's what it says on your t-shirt. It says mountains to the sea. That's what our vision is. But how are we going to do that if we don't say, here I am, Lord, send me? We say we want to reach people, but then we come in here on a Sunday morning and we just want to soak it all in and feed me, feed me, feed me. Make me feel good about myself. Don't condemn me, please, because then I'll feel guilty. But then we still say, we want to reach people from the mountains to the sea, but you're not even doing it here. You're not even stepping out and serving within your local church. If you're not serving within your local church, how can you be behind the vision of reaching people from the mountains into the sea? I encourage you this morning, if you've not stepped out into carrying out the Great Commission within our church, then today is your day. I'm calling you out. I'm stepping on your toes because God called me out at a young age. If I can do it, you can do it. All you have to do is be willing and say, it's not about me, Lord. It's all about you and all that you've called me to do. If you come here today and you think, God didn't call me out, ooh, go back and listen to this message again. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to do something big and extravagant for God. Saul and David had a simple act of obedience. A simple act of obedience may be you leaving today, going home and talking to Jesus and finding out and saying, God, I want to serve within my church because I know that we have a vision to reach people from the mountains to the sea. And you go online today and you fill out a volunteer application because you say, I want to be all in. I want to be a part of it. You know, Pastor Josh mentioned last week, which I thought was so good in my notes. I like started like 25 times. You can't take part in the blessings if you're not in the situation. And I was like, ooh, that hit deep. You know, he talked about his neighbor rebuilding their house and remodeling it, but he's not going to shower in his shower because he didn't give in the blood, sweat, and tears. If you want to be all in to Trailhead Church, it's reaching people from the mountains to the sea and carrying out the Great Commission and God's calling on your life. All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet.